is in worship center, a gentleman called Dr. Lockridge was invited to say a word of greeting to a large audience. He gave this spontaneous response. The Bible says, "My King, He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings and He's the Lord of lords. That's my King. Well, I wonder, do you know Him?" David says, "The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows forth His handiwork. My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define His limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of His shoreless supply. No barriers can hinder Him from pouring out His blessing. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know Him? He's the greatest phenomenon that's ever crossed the horizons of this world. He's God's Son. He's the sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in Himself. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine in true theology. He's the total necessity of spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call Him. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Saviour. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. I wonder, do you know Him?" There's more. "He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He forgave sinners. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent and He beautifies the meek. I wonder, do you know Him? My King is the key of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know Him? His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. I wish I could describe Him to you. He's indescribable. Yes, He is. He's indescribable. Yes. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you, the heavens of heavens cannot contain Him, let alone a man explain Him. You can't get Him out of your mind. You can't get Him off of your hands. You can't outlive Him and you can't live without Him. The Pharisees couldn't stand Him, but they found out they couldn't stop Him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in Him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. And Herod couldn't kill Him. Death couldn't handle Him. And the grave couldn't hold Him. Yes, that's my King. Yes, He always has been and He always will be. I'm talking about He had no predecessor and He'll have no successor. There was nobody before Him and there'll be nobody after Him. You can't impeach Him and He's not going to resign. That's my King. Praise the Lord. That's my King. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Forever and ever and ever and ever. How long is that? And ever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all of the forevers, then hallelujah, hallelujah, good God of mine, hallelujah. Woohoo, how is that? And so for me, that was a spontaneous greeting that this man had at the praise and worship seminar. And for me, it begs the question, who do I say he am? That's who that man said he is. And while I can, some of that language, I do know the meanings of things, but it's not my language, you know what I mean? And I can agree with some of the things he said out of a knowledge place, but truly, who do I say he is? And so tonight, that's my question. And we're going to do some practical stuff. But my question is, who do you say God is? In Matthew, let's have a look. We'll hand some of these out. In Matthew 16:15, Jesus addressed the disciples and asked, who do people say that I am? And they were saying things like, you know, you're Isaiah, you're John, you're Jeremiah. And then he turned around and he said to them, so who do you say that I am? And he wasn't talking to the unsaved. He was talking to his disciples, the guys that had hung out with him, the guys that had heard the parables, had them explain, had heard Jesus' teaching, had seen the miracles. He's saying, who do you say I am? And we all know that Pete got all peed, but Peter says, you are, do we know what he said? Hey? You are Christ, the Son of the living God. And in saying that, a translation of that in their time, that if you claim to be the Son of God, you are claiming to be God. And they understood that. And so Jesus turns around and he's chuffed. He's delighted. But he makes it clear that neither flesh or blood revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I just in the last couple of weeks, and I've spoken to a couple about this, I've felt the Lord say, talk to me about being careful of not making him a God in my image, and that it was important to have God himself reveal who he is. And he does that through his word, by his spirit. He does that through his name. And so I've just got a couple of scriptures for this. So the sun is, I think this is the Passion Translation. The sun is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the exact expression of God's true nature, his mirror image and exact expression. So in Hebrews, God talks about he's now speaking through his son. And so this scripture tells us that Jesus is the express image. He says, my Father and I are one. So if you see Jesus, you see the Father. And this is a prayer that Paul had. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may more deeply and intimately grow in the knowledge of him. I've written more scriptures. Sorry. So the Spirit is the Spirit of revelation. So he reveals who God is in us, who God is for us. In John 10:30, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. And so there's a growing in the knowledge of God. When we come to him, we don't know all of him. And this is a knowing that's an intimate experience with the Lord. It's not enough to just know about him. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. And in John it says that your word is truth. And we know from the model prayer that we're asked to hallow his name. So his name reveals his character and his nature as well. So there is a revelation that the Lord brings himself about who he is. We don't just come up with our own ideas. And we've done that. You know, like we know in this church we've been big on the Father's love, and our wrong perceptions have tainted our perceptions of who he is and how we do life. And so where I want to go from this is I'm actually going to hand out some paper, and we're going to take time out to write down who God is for us and what he's like for us. And so we know him as Father, we know him as loving. It's that sort of thing. And we want that how we see him. It's good if what we write down is something that is a reality for us. And it's okay to write down truth that's revealed in the Word about who he is. Because ultimately, God will want us to experience him in different ways depending on what we're going through. Yeah? Would you agree? Yeah? And so I'm going to hand this out. And it's interesting because without a revelation from through the Word by his Spirit, in a revelation of who the Father is in encountering Jesus and relationship with him, we can get wrong perceptions. I mean, the Pharisees, you know, Jesus said to them, you're forever in the Scriptures and you don't even know who I am. So God, Jesus fronts up in the front of the Pharisees and they kill him. So they didn't have a clue. They had a relationship with rules. They had a relationship with... They had a relationship with the rules. They didn't have a personal relationship with him. And we can see that that's dangerous. We can get off track. Paul was a good example. I think it's in Philippians or Colossians, he gives a big list of how he was circumcised on the eighth day. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, you know, a Pharisee, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a member of the Pharisees, and persecuted the church in the name of God, you know, for God's sake type of thing. And then when he had an encounter, when he had a momentary encounter with the light, with the Word, with Jesus, everything changed. And in those scriptures, he goes on to say, I count that as rubbish. That is just rubbish from the overwhelming preciousness, the supreme advantage and surpassing greatness of knowing him. And that was his desire, to come to know him even deeply, more intimately, and to have his life. He was the one that said, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And so, see, without encounter, without a revelation, without the Lord revealing himself, we can end up with a skewed perception of who he is that colours our lives, colours how we live, how we walk, how we treat each other, how we perceive the world. And so I'm going to give you all a piece of paper. How many people have we got? So I actually started doing this a few years ago. I wrote myself a little list. What I did was I got myself a book and I've gone A. So what words can I come up with? That doesn't sound too good, but what words can I come up to describe who Jesus is, to describe who God is, and what he's really like? And so I just went through the alphabet and asked myself, is there enough, Ella? Oh, have you got pens? I've got a couple of pens here if anyone wants them. I think too that that sometimes our perception and our picture of who God is needs kind of an injection of some sort, that we would be, that a sense of wonder would be restored to us, that there'd be a divine fascination. Do you know, like, I think it was in Isaiah where God says, you know, like, is it there? I think he challenged Isaiah and said, you know, like, who can compare to me? You know, have a look. I put the stars in place. I named them all one by one. He talked about, Isaiah, David, it was another one, that they were awe-inspired. The largeness of who God captivated their hearts. They were overwhelmed. They didn't see him as their boyfriend or their mate. You know, I know that there's that intimate relationship, but there was something behind how they encountered him that caused them to be in wonder and awe of who he is. And this man's spontaneous statement of who God was to him, his words to describe him as glorious, uncontainable, unsearchable. The huge words that when we meditate on them, when we look at them, you know, I think the Passion Translation is good for that. It enlarges our wonder and our awe of who he is. And so I've put a couple of words in here to give you a bit of an idea. So he can be Father and forgiving. He can be King. He can be the King of Glory. He can be the Eternal King, the Triumphant King. So what I'd like you to do is just write down what first comes into your heart, what first comes up in your heart about who he is and what he's like. He's gracious. He's compassionate. And we're going to do this for a little while, and then we'll do something after that. I just want to say that, you know, if Jesus is your munchkin or your Terminator or your blankie, I would like to think that those words and expressions are based on truth, yeah? So maybe if he's your munchkin, he's the bridegroom king. Maybe if he's your blankie, he's the comforter. Maybe if he's the Terminator, he's the one who defeated the enemy. You know, he's not the one that takes out anybody that you don't like or you want out of your face. Do you know what I mean? Because we don't fight against flesh or blood. So you understand where I'm coming from in this, okay? And once again, the Passion Translation is the same. He uses expressions, words that we don't see in other translations, but they're based on truth. And that's the beauty of a personal relationship with him.